Two nights ago, I interrogated SDP's healthcare policy, and their healthcare policy is what you call a single-payer system. Actually, very few people know what it means, but it's the centerpiece of Professor Paul Tambaya's policy proposal for healthcare. In a recent podcast, Professor Tambaya said he desired to be health minister. So it's all the more important for us to understand what his policy means. First, no more government subsidy. If you ever go to a hospital to seek treatment under this SDP's plan, you need to pay the whole bill. There's no more government subsidy. So your whole bill, how do you pay? You pay by claiming insurance. What will happen to the premium of the insurance? It will go high, much higher than MediShield Life premiums today, because now the insurance must cover the whole bill. Then, actually, it wouldn't just be high, it will be very high, because the SDP insurance scheme also cover private hospitals like Mount Elizabeth, like Glen Eagles. You like it or not, whether you want to go or not. He say the insurance plan now cover private hospital. Then it can go even super high. Why? Because once you claim everything from insurance, you have a buffet syndrome. What does a buffet syndrome? You pay the restaurant one time. After that, you eat as much as you can. Pay already, might as well eat. It happens in healthcare all the time. When you say insurance already pay, so can overconsume. And therefore, in a too overly insured system in the world, you always have over-servicing, unnecessary treatment. Just go for extra scans, insurance paying. Stay a few more nights, insurance paying. Everything will just go sky high. I remember I went to Korea once. At the junction, a car knocked into my car. So we have a bunch of my union brothers and sisters. We all fell down. Next thing, our tour guide say, all of you, go to hospital, stay one night. We say, we are okay. What for? She say, insurance cover in Korea. If you get into an accident, just go to hospital, stay one night. In the meantime, do full body checkup, because the insurance pay for everything. That's when you get overconsumption. So this is an escalating cycle. This system were bound to collapse. So the policy ideas of the opposition, either they are not sufficiently informed, or they do not take into account of all our rich experiences, ourselves as well as other countries. They must start by learning from experience of ourselves and other countries. WP candidate Faizal Manap, in one of his rallies, he thanked President Taman and me. For what? He said he thanked us for supposedly agreeing that Singapore needs a strong opposition. I'm afraid he's badly mistaken. In fact, my belief is the opposite, which is that we don't need a strong opposition. We need a strong ruling party, which is the PAP. But with a strong ruling party, at the same time, we will have a constructive opposition presence to provide check and balance. Together, they can form an effective governance systems. I think I'm one of the first ministers to say that before the campaign even started, and that there's no chance of an opposition wipeout in this GE. But what I said is not the same as wanting a strong opposition. In fact, I expressed my great fear, my great worry, that opposition can be so strong in parliament, Singapore will get caught up in paralysis. Everything gets jammed. We cannot move forward. It has happened in many democracies around the world. It can happen here. In 2011, the opposition used an analogy called the co-driver. Some of you may remember 2011. They say opposition presence in parliament is like a co-driver sitting next to PAP, which is the driver. If the PAP driver falls asleep, the co-driver will slap his head, and you will wake up and drive again. Singaporeans, I must say, by and large, do not disagree with the analogy, and that there is a role for the opposition. That GE, the opposition, won Aljunied GRC. But then when the opposition presence grows and expand to another GRC, that co-driver becomes more than a co-driver. It becomes also a backseat driver. So when you drive, he starts giving you instruction, turn left, turn right, stop, slow down. He starts suggesting, why don't you take this route, that route. To the driver, it's still okay. You take in the suggestion, you have your own GPS, you decide the route you take, you are still in charge. But you just take in the ideas and process it. Still okay. But if after this GE, the PAP loses another 3-4 GRCs, then I think likely the co-driver will have one hand on your steering wheel and say, I also want to drive. And he's bold enough, he say, my one leg also go over. You step the accelerator, I step the brake. We drive together. It will then become very dangerous. We may be at risk of crashing. And if we crash, who has the responsibility? The PAP driver. The co-driver will say, no, I'm just the co-driver. You are the main driver. I fear and I worry this is the direction that we are heading towards. That's why as we go to the polls this Saturday to decide on the outcome of this GE, I hope voters will ask, if the PAP has no blank check this GE, shouldn't the opposition have no free pass? PAP candidates, we are always held to very high standards because we are the ruling party and we accept that. But opposition candidates, aspiring to have a presence in parliament, cannot just be all sound and fury either. Surely they must also be held to certain standards. For example, voters may consider, have they demonstrated the abilities to run a town council properly? Are they able to come out with sound, coherent, sensible policies that's different from today's policy but an alternative, and able to present them well in a way that you can understand so that you have a basis of comparison? Can they do that? Most importantly, do they possess good character, integrity, and honesty?
I have to say that our plans seem to be in stark contrast to what the SDP has in mind. In fact, I remember one of the first complaints the SDP had when I think Dr. Chee visited Sembawang West was to raise the issue that, why is it that Minister Ong has said Sembawang West residents may continue to use Galaxy CC when Galaxy CC is not in the Sembawang West area? To me, this suggests the SDP's plans is to treat Sembawang West as an island on its own, unconnected to the rest of Sembawang GRC. Is that what you want? Yeah. I mean, and what makes this really curious is SDP is also contesting in the rest of Sembawang GRC. So it appears that, whatever the outcome, they seem to want to keep the two places separate. This doesn't make any sense, does it? Now, some residents have shown me copies of the SDP's manifesto for Sembawang GRC. And I think what struck me was the complete absence of any plans for Sembawang and Woodlands towns. Now, they have a lot of policy suggestions, and I think Minister Ong has scrutinized their policy suggestions very well and explained quite clearly why they are not workable. But what is more interesting is this. If you are contesting an SMC, and if you're contesting maybe two GRCs, you are not going to be in a position to form government. So actually, they have all these policy proposals, but they will not be in any position to implement these policy proposals. What they will have to do, though, is to run the town council. But there are no details of any of their plans for Sembawang West or Sembawang GRC in their manifesto.
Now, Wow, the Woodlands North area is going to be so exciting. We'll work with you to plan the facilities and amenities. But we are thinking hawker center. We are thinking new sports and recreational facilities and new commercial areas. And we will have waterfront housing. And if you have spent any time at all at Woodlands Waterfront, we know the view is beautiful, right? Yeah. So I focus, of course, on the developments in Woodlands Town. But we have equally exciting plans for Sembawang Town. You know, I used to call this place also. Everybody called this place Ulu Sembawang. But when we are done, people will call this place Ulala Sembawang. You like it? I didn't make this up. This one of our residents wrote this on the comments when we launched the manifesto video. But we'll keep working with you to make this Sembawang for everyone. So I want to say something about that we've heard from the opposition. Some criticize MP's role as town councillors. They call us glorified estate managers. They say only parliament is important. I think they completely missed the point. You see, every plan, every improvement we make is because you, our residents, voice a need through house visits, through MPS, through email, through social media. And these frequent touch points keep us grounded and in touch with your experience and your aspirations. They inform what we speak about in Parliament on both estate issues, whether it is airplanes flying over Admiralty or, you know, clinics in Woodlands North Plaza, or policy issues like cost of living, education reform, healthcare reform, housing. We put ourselves in your shoes every day. We speak up for you and we put empathy into action. If you give me the honour of continuing to serve you, here's what we'll do together. We will double down on what matters most. We will renew and modernise our homes and shared spaces, making Sembawang West a more vibrant and livable town. We will expand support for our seniors, ensuring dignity, activity, and care in their golden years. We will strengthen mental wellness programs, especially for our youth and working adults, because we know a healthy community isn't just about physical infrastructure, it's about emotional resilience and strong social bonds. And we will enhance inclusivity and accessibility so that every resident, regardless of your age, your background, or your ability, feels he or she truly belongs here. And we will do all this while being physically responsible, transparent, and always present for the people we serve. Because Sembawang West is our home, it's worth every ounce of our energy and time.